all, we have a proven track record of strategic acquisitions. Our round-the-clock operations, augmented with advanced technology, ensure swift response times, enhancing our ability to meet our customers' demands. We have nine locations in the United States and eight in Canada. This North American network positions us competitively for an exciting future. Technology is the cornerstone of Titanium's vision. We invest in proprietary software development tailored to the highest standards and client requirements. This enables us to quickly integrate our acquisitions and extract synergies through strategic relationships and collaborations with global partners. We ensure our solutions remain at the forefront of innovation.
Titanium Transportation Group is a driving force in technology-infused transportation, proudly traded on the TSX. We are proud to be ranked as the 12th largest Canadian trucking company by Today's Trucking, and we are recognized as one of Canada's top-growing companies, which underscores the strength of our business model. Safety is our culture. Our commitment is to ensure a safe work environment both in our offices and on the road. Simply put, safety is a priority in Titanium. Through rigorous safety protocols, continuous training, and progressive technology, we aim to protect our staff and customers while maintaining profitability. At Titanium, we utilize advanced logistics technology to cut carbon emissions, optimize asset usage, and enhance both driver and office efficiency. Our focus on low driver turnover is evident through industry-leading retention efforts, including employee and driver share purchase plans, continuous investment in digital platforms, and comprehensive driver safety screening and training.
Titanium's people and technology provide a solid platform, allowing us to maintain a strong balance sheet and quality revenue. Our purposely balanced asset-light and asset-heavy mix of business continues to drive our growth in the North American transportation market.
Our dedication to growth and a reputation for delivering quality service, together with our commitment to an equitable, sustainable, and socially responsible environment, allows for continued expansion of our North American operations.
All right. Kind of a cool video, I guess, right? A lot of fun there. A little, like, kind of cool trucking shit, right? Let's get the slide. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right, so I'll start very quickly here. We don't have a lot of time, so I got to, like, you know, like, speed present here. My name is Ted Dano. I'm the CEO of Titanium. I'm a founder. I started my career when I was banging on doors, cutting grass at 8 years old. No, I'm just kidding around here. Did my CA at KPMG. I have 2 degrees, one in computer science and one in business. You can see the rest of the management team there. I got my CFO with me. He's also a pretty techie CFO. Everything's about tech for us. After I left KPMG, did a little bit of turnaround management for a few years, and then we founded the company, and we said, look, we're going to grow this kind of, you know, digital type of trucking and logistics company, and we said that we were going to innovate in this very, very kind of old base industry, right? It's a very old industry since the day of the horse and buggy. You look at Maryland, Florida there as well. We've got some pretty serious talent, so we've got some good leadership in the business. This is our current guidance. We're in the mid-400s top line this year. EBITDA, we're publishing 8 to 10%. We're probably going to be in the high 30s. 20% CAGR over the last six years on the revenue side. Similar, a little higher than that on the EBITDA. So, you know, we tend to be pretty efficient on our growth. And we've done 13 acquisitions since 2011, all of which have been asset-based. I guess I don't really like goodwill. So that's kind of a thing. We grow our logistics organically. So let's just talk about that for a sec. 50% of our top line is non-asset based. It's asset light. It is EBITDA is EBT. So it's a very cash flow positive business. And we started that in 2002, and then we got our first truck in 05, and we went public in 2015. We were about $100 million at the time, and now we're, again, as I said, we're almost $500 million company. This business has locations mostly throughout the United States. We were a small Canadian broker up until 2019. We started the U.S. divisions, so we're about 80, 90 million Canadian top line. Now we're over 180 million top line USA and continuing to grow. That's a trillion-dollar market, in case you're wondering what the value of that market is. It's gigantic. And the digital brokers, which is what we are, essentially the bigger digital brokers are the ones that are really controlling the big, huge players in the United States that need digital connectivity as customers. They need a customer solution, not just trucks. There's a slide a little later I'm going to show you about the fragmentation of the business. So that's the low barriers to entry side. It's your, you know, your small trucking company, you know, husband and wife teams, where they basically run these little family businesses, and they do really well in that 1 to 10 truck level. 750,000 trucking companies in the United States, 97% of which are less than 10 trucks. And so they run on these digital boards, which we control. Right now, we're about 250 million top line in our brokerage, similar volume on our trucking company. And you can sort of see what, you know, a lot of the innovations that we've built over the last 10 years, you know, have culminated to. Give you an example, our tech team about 10 years ago was less than a handful of people. Today, we're about 20 people, a third of which are software engineers, a third of which are on the hardware side, and a third of which are on the application system side and navigation. The fleet is about 900 power units, 700 of which are in Canada and mostly southern Ontario, and the other 200 of which are out of Georgia, Oakwood, Georgia, which is about an hour out of Atlanta. Georgia is what's called the Freight Alley State. So there are five states in the United States. It's called Freight Alley. 40% of U.S. freight, road freight, moves through these five states, and that's Georgia, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, and Alabama. So we are heavily vested in that area. Actually, you can see that as well in our brokerage locations. We have one in Nashville, Atlanta, Jacksonville, which is North Florida, which is a big port, and Charlotte. 90% of our revenue is contracted, so that's the contract side of the business, and that's the asset-heavy side of the business. Obviously, a much lower ROIC, but it is part of the holistic solution to be part of the big companies. You know, if you want to talk to a Canadian Tire, a Walmart, or Amazon, or Home Depot, or any of these type of clients, they have minimum requirements in order to be able to be a supplier of this magnitude, and they require a tremendous amount of technology. For example, Walmart right now is using for billing a blockchain protocol over and above their EDI systems that we have to be able to program. And if you can't, you don't get to work for Walmart. You don't get to be a supplier. But our brokerage and our digital solutions, where our customer can log in and we can also integrate with our customer, like a Walmart, for example, and then we've got our 30,000 carriers that our algorithms are managing through our carrier portal, where we've got these 1 to 10 truck small companies are covering this massive network throughout the United States and really the southern border of Canada. Our digital systems are able to solution a lot of these requirements for big companies like the P&Gs and Walmarts of the world and Cascades and so on and so forth. Being in supply chain, of course, is kind of a big strategic advantage for us in the sense that we're mostly in raw material that go to companies that make products that go to consumables. So a good example there is we ship aluminum coils to companies that make aluminum cans, and those aluminum cans are really recession-proof because you're either buying the really expensive beer or the really cheap beer, depending on, you know, one way or the other in terms of what's going into those cans. So we really are in a kind of a, call it a pandemic slash recession proof business. The only thing that we're fighting right now, of course, is the overcapacity that's in the business, and that's really a hangover from the oversupply and over-demand during COVID. But we're somewhere around 2 years, yeah, no, we're just over 2 years into this so-called trucking, you know, rating headwinds kind of overcapacity environment. And, you know, 2 years is a long time, you know, so we're kind of expecting the inflation within. We're hoping it's probably coming within the next 3 to 6 months. That's sort of our prediction. So if you look at really how complementary these businesses are, the model is rather flexible. Obviously, we've got a tremendous amount of flexibility on the broker side because the brokerage side of the business is extremely malleable and can grow significantly on the backs of our digital platforms. Our goal is to really continue to grow brokerage, really on almost a 10-to-1 basis at this point in time, because we do have some pretty good coverage with our assets. We don't really need to add a ton more assets to where we're at. You know, maybe a little bit in the U.S. for a bit more coverage, but other than that, that's really not where the growth will be. The growth will be really on the technological side, which is where the broker is going to continue to grow. Again, I'd say on a 10-to-1 basis. One really complements the other. Our technology, these are just some examples to give you just some of the things we do. There's a snapshot there of one of our maintenance screens. So you can see our navigation systems are very automated. We don't have a lot of people doing a lot of things. We have a lot of computers doing a lot of things. So for example, on the proactive maintenance side, you can see the green, yellow, red. You know, we have a lot of navigation and boards that tell our people what to do very efficiently, and they send auto alerts, and you know, they automatically integrate from all the different platforms. You know, let's say our maintenance platform communicates with our ERP platform, but what it does is it also tells the ERP platform, hey, that truck needs a safety, so the computer is going to do part of that scheduling so that the truck gets that safety efficiently and is able to be back on the road turning tires and making money. Right, so we do have a ton of automation. You know, we've got, you know, AI technology now that's in our predictive routing systems and so on and so forth. The drivers are pretty sophisticated. They have a tablet that's connected into the computer system of the truck, and it has all sorts of telematics, which we transmit that for various purposes, and we use it on all sorts of levels. You know, for example, we use it for safety. Our insurance company is a Fairfax division, and we're a platinum safety award winner. So, you know, safety is a good thing if you're going to be an investor. You don't want your investee, the people you're investing in, to do something stupid, not have good safety ratings, and get sued, because there's a lot of lawsuits in trucking. And so if you're a good company, then generally speaking, you know, one, you don't get sued. Two, you're also not going to pay a lot in insurance. And three, you know what, you're going to have really happy suppliers, customers, and drivers, because they also don't want to get sued. So those are really important things. To be a really safe fleet is to be a profitable fleet. You know, again, a lot of this is driven by tech. We have an app. Our drivers can use their app. Our customers can use an app, and our carriers can use an app. So there's a lot of connectivity. And so the whole industry is kind of into this barrier to entry level at the digital level, but not really at the fragmented level in terms of these little suppliers. So we're taking advantage of that and consolidating by using technology, right? So we're solving that problem. ESG, a little bit of a buzzword, I guess, but for us, E is environmental. Well, guess what? Fuel is a big line on it for us. And so we've been environmentally trying to cut carbon footprint by just saving money on fuel, which is called more fuel efficient trucks. More technology, more analytics, right? You know, more technology, more. We have a fuel coach. We have a optimization coach, red, yellow, green, right on the tablet that helps the drivers drive more efficiently. And the really cool part about that is the guys that even use that and love it a lot are our owner operators. So on our asset side, our trucks, some of which we own and some of which are an owner operator where he owns the truck, or he and she, or she. We have about 10% of our drivers are women. And they're really safe, to be honest with you. They're better than the guys. So that's really cool. Good for you. And so we use this coach to help them make more money. Yeah, so EVs are extremely expensive, about $500,000. And we've got an order for five Tesla trucks, tractors. So we're hoping we'll get them sometime soon. It's really still an experiment. You know, I mean, when you're seeing, you know, Pepsi has, you know, 20 or 25 EVs, and they're trying to figure out how to use them, because one of the problems is the battery weighs 10,000 pounds, and it costs about 400 kilowatts per night to charge them. That's a city block of 20 to 25 houses. So, you know, we all want, you know, to make more money, and we all want to, you know, be innovative, and we want to be able to plug in our car and not have to go to the gas station for 4 years, which is what my neighbor tells me all the time, because he owns a Tesla and I got a Yukon. but putting all that aside,
future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we all want it, but it really is still very primitive technology and very expensive, right? And it costs over $100,000 for a charger. Like, it's just not there yet. But I mean, we're committed to innovation, and I think that's the biggest part of the message. So, right? Driver turnover extremely low. We have a share purchase plan, and that really just permeates through the whole culture, right? And that, I think that's a really important part of our ESG plan as well. And as well, I mean, governance, we're publicly traded. You know, we're almost a $500 million company. So, yeah, it's really important. As we're a highly regulated industry. So we are, you know, we're platinum. For example, Fairfax gave us the Platinum Award, second safest fleet in North America. And, of course, our CEO bitched and said, why aren't I number one? So, you know. So she, first thing she said was, what? Seriously? Why aren't I number one? I'm like, okay, all good. I'll give you an example here of some of our customers. We do have over 1,000 customers, but we are in supply chain, steel, aluminum, pulp, paper, packaging. So, for example, we'll deliver the pulp that goes to the company that makes the packaging that goes to Nestle Purina, and well, you know what? Even if times are tough, you're going to feed your dog or your cat or your budgie or whatever, right? Like, you know, you're there, right? And Diageo is alcohol. I think in tough times, people drink even more. So that's my theory. P&G, I don't know about you, but I like clean dishes. That's for sure. You know, I'm going to steal – and clean clothes. I got to buy Tide. So I love the products that we're in. Right? You don't have a choice. You got to wash your clothes, right? And if you're going to buy canned food because it might be a little cheaper, well, guess what? You're buying the steel that was on our flatbeds. So that's kind of fun, steel and aluminum. All right, so let's move on. Revenue growth, as you can see, ups and downs. Now, some of that's really just, again, the macro economy going up and down on the revenue. And so in good times where the revenue is a little higher, we've got more pricing power, our trucks are a little bit more profitable. But they are contracted because, you know what, for those lanes, and lanes are routes to customers like the P&Gs of the world or Cascades or so on, or, you know, Worthington Steel or whoever, they want to ensure that there is at least the basic of capacity, so they will contract us. And then on the broker side, it's a margin-based business where we're going to our carrier base and we're able to make a margin. So it's really a margin-based business, so it's cash flow, and it's EBT and EBITDA are really synonymous. So you can see the ups and downs. And in the downs, we're looking for opportunity. You know, in the downs, there's small brokers out there that are struggling and they're going out of business, and I'm scooping out their people and I'm opening up new offices and I'm saying, hey, you know what, guys? Let's go bring some of that on because I've got some really cool tech and I'm way better than that small broker that you used to work for, and I can help you grow exponentially, right? And, for example, our salespeople, you know, they've got a base plus commission, but the commission is on that margin. It's not on revenue. So they are heavily incented culturally to make money rather than just crank out volume, right? So that's really important on the revenue growth in terms of both the logistics and the trucking. You can sort of see the trend, right? You know, in 21, trucking grew, but then brokerage tailed because customers need help growing, and logistics is a virtual business, and so that's where we grow, right? First, and then we can backfill that if we need a little bit more equipment, but we do that on a contractual basis. And the EBITDA growth, as you can see, it, you know, certainly there's ups and downs, but having said that, over time, it's definitely, you know, an upward slope to the right, which is, it's a good thing, right? Because I don't know, anybody sees upward or downward slopes to the right? I don't know about you, but I think I'd probably get fired if I ever presented that. Q2 results, you guys can all look at our Q2. It's on our website. You know, pretty decent revenue profile. Netted depreciation, netted tax, net assets, brokerage. We show a slight loss there on the net income, but that's because we depreciate our trucks over 7 years. And when the trucks are brand new, because we have a fleet that we refreshed over the last couple of years, and so because the fleet is so new, we don't have any CapEx requirements for the next really 2 to 3 years. So our EBITDA for the next 2-3 years is primarily just free cash flow. So our free cash flow profile over the next couple of years is zero CapEx. So you can pretty much do the math on that. And we do about 10 10 to 15 million of EBITDA per quarter. So where we're at today is, let's just say, slightly normalized. You know, we're getting out of this sort of like tail end of this really bad recession in trucking, too much overcapacity. The biggest indicator there is the price of used trucks. So if you look at Ritchie, you go take a look at the price of used tractors. I'm not talking like F-150 trucks, right? I'm talking like, you know, big Peterbilts, like your Peterbilt, you know, 579 kind of thing, your tractors that are pulling big, heavy trailers. So if you look at the price of tractors, class 7, class 8, it's really plummeted in the last year. And now, in the last couple months, it's plummeted even more. And that means that the industry is shedding capacity. That means they're getting rid of those old trucks. And that means that there's way fewer people buying those trucks as opposed to selling. So that means we are really now to that tail end, you know, that culmination. And so the goal is to be $1 billion top line, double the top line, and double the EBITDA from 50 to 100 million over the next 3 to 5 years, which we'll do primarily in combination with our brokerage and our little bit of the trucking as well to backfill that. Sorry, so this is really, I mean, you guys can look at this. It's on our website as well. This is kind of a little bit of info on the industry. You've got 3.5 million truck drivers in the United States. 90% of U.S. trucking companies have less than 10 trucks. That's as per the Department of Transportation. Similar stat in Canada. Top 100 carriers in Canada only account for 6% of our capacity, right? I mean, it's absolutely staggering. This is like the Wild West, right? But the opportunity therein lies with the ubiquitous digital platforms that we control, not the trucks, right? And this is just some M&A success. We've done 13. The last one we did was in Georgia. Georgia makes a lot of sense for us. We have a lot of customers down there. They're in our product lines, and it made sense for us. And this is going to help us grow in the U.S., obviously. We're getting into some of the big customers now in the U.S. Walmart USA now, right? We're qualifying. P&G USA. Those markets are bigger than most small countries' GDP. So it's pretty awesome, actually. We're really excited about our future. So that's the investment thesis summary. Yeah?
So in terms of the, if you look at some of the competitors, like Mullen and Transport Server, are they doing a similar tech at your operations, or are you different?
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty different. Like, I know Murray actually quite well. He's a fun guy to talk to, and, you know, no one hates Ottawa more than Murray, which is fantastic, makes me feel better all the time. I call him my therapist. But yeah, I mean, like Murray's like 95% equipment, and he's in oil and gas, and he's got a lot of, you know, like Northern heavy haul LTL and stuff like that. So I think, and he's in this region, right? So I think for me, it's more like, well, TFI is 10 billion, half of which is down south. And I know Elaine, I see him at conferences and stuff. Elaine loves like LTL and tankers and parcel and courier and last mile. So we're really in different businesses, and I'm very small compared to them. My runway is gigantic compared to him. They're 20 times our size, and we're 50% a broker. Like, TFI is not 50% a broker. They're not $5 billion in brokerage, right, and $5 billion assets, right? We're 50% a broker. We're asset light. We're very digital, right? So they're kind of different models than we are, right? Yeah. We really are heavily, really focused on growing our brokerage. No, because the EBITDA in brokerage is lower, but EBITDA is EBT, right? So it's usually you're flipping freight at about, you know, somewhere 15 to 20% gross minus SG&A. You know, we make about an 8 to 10% EBITDA. And so, you know, we'll grow brokerage to say $500, $600, $700, $800 million over time. Digitally, we'll get more automation, and it'll grow. Like, we have a new customer platform now that's got a shopping cart, and it's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of growth there, and you can grow exponentially in brokerage because, you know, once you invent your software, you just kind of just keep improving it, but you don't have to reinvent it. And we've sort of been at it for like maybe close to 10 years in terms of building our tech teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, four or five times EBITDA, that kind of thing. But we've always bought mostly assets because, you know, you're really, at least you're buying something real. You know, you get the drivers, you get some customer relationships in that region, and you're kind of benefiting from it. But really, there's not going to be a ton of growth for us because we're pretty big already in Canada and then in Ontario, right? We don't really need to add a lot more of physical capacity, but we need to grow in the U.S. and be, you know, more of a really grow as a digital broker, right? Yeah. Oh, no more questions, I guess. She won't let me. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, probably about 400 million brokerage to 50 to 100 million trucking.
Okay.
Yep. Quick?
Yeah. Do you currently sell some of your brokerage data?
That the data that's in our brokerage is our customers. So generally no, but we do provide data to our insurance company actually. So we have kind of a special deal with them on that level for safety. So we help their actuarials. So there is some benefit there. Okay? All right.